Well, good morning. Can you all hear me? You'll find out either from the welcome sheet or from the slide that will come up that I'm going to be speaking about crisis communication this morning. For those of you who don't know me, my name's Katrina Payton, and this really is going to be crisis communication because it's based on numerous LEMSIPs, quite a number of throat lozengers, quite a few Nurofen Fast. To get through today, I was wondering whether I would even have a voice this morning. And I did actually have to say to God, you know, I'm all for being a visual example, but whilst I'm going to be talking about the importance of listening, I really do need to be able to speak this morning. So hopefully I'm going to make it through these next 20 minutes or so talking through this week's topic. Again, just in case there are some of you who either don't know my background and weren't here last week, just a bit of a recap about this series that we're looking at. As you know, Alistair, having managed to provide us with four good sermons, is now away for a three-month holiday. Clearly well-earned because he's had four good sermons. So, David, you've still three to go. Rosie, you're doing not bad, actually. But at least it keeps something to be focused on and move towards. So anyway, he's on holiday, sabbatical. Can't really call it holiday because I don't think he's genuinely taking any time off. And he asked if I would speak. And as you know, I'm not a theologian. I'm a police officer. I've been in policing for 28 years. And with that has come daily interaction with people normally in crisis. Sometimes we deal with people who, you know, things are going well and life's pretty good, but the vast majority of time when I'm speaking with people, something has gone wrong. It might be something small, sometimes it can be something pretty catastrophic. So what I'm hoping to do over today and again next week is to look at this subject of crisis. Last week we looked at our response to crisis. We recognised that actually it's our response to a crisis that makes it that way. And it's not about changing the circumstances. God wants to change us in the circumstances because that's what stops it being a crisis. We looked at the behavioural change staircase, and I'll bring that up again for those of you who weren't here last week. And we looked at that process that we use in negotiation to try and influence somebody's behaviour because we recognise that the only way that we can stop that being a crisis is to change behaviour. But we looked at that in the context of God and we recognised that the only way that, that God can change us is to change our behaviour. He's more interested in that than changing the circumstances. And so last week we went through the different steps of that staircase. And we looked at each one of them in the context of God till we got to the point that we recognised that God really wants to change our behaviour. He wants us to produce. Remember, he said, I have called you, I have appointed you, that you will bear fruit and fruit that will last. To produce anything, you need to change. But what I also said, and what you'll see there in the yellow at the bottom, can you all read what it says there? The foundation of that staircase and that change process is active listening. And you see, like any staircase, it needs a foundation. It needs to have a strong foundation that will carry your weight as you climb up those steps. And so for us in negotiation, but also for us in the context of our relationship with God, it needs to be absolutely grounded on active listening. And you see, active listening is described as a communication technique which is used in counselling or training or conflict resolution that forces the listener to concentrate, to understand, to respond, and to remember. And so it's a communication technique that we use, and I'm going to show how it's really important for us to be using it in our relationship with God. See, we live in an age of communication. We can go on to the next slide. And for me, The technology that we now have is vast. People are communicating all the time, be it on iPhone or social media. From my own perspective, I feel it's not very social, but however, we are communicating all the time. I actually once said to the kids, you know, I think what I'll do is when we come down and have time together, I'll strap your iPhone to my head, and then that way at least I'll think you're looking at me whilst we're talking. Communication is just in a whole new realm. You'll remember when, for those of you that might still have a landline, that BT used to have the strap line, "It's good to talk." Because people think that communication is about talking. We've got talk shows, and if there's a crisis in the world, what do we have? We have peace talks. Because what we need to do when there's a problem is talk about it. What we need to do is get together and talk about people's lives, people's issues, and what we're going to do. Once we've talked about it, we want to quickly respond to it. And in actual fact, the issue is we're not spending enough time listening. I genuinely believe the world would be a different place if we had listen shows, or if we had problems and we had peace listens, because actually that is what will take us to the point where we can say that our behaviour has changed, because we understand. You see, people think negotiators must be great talkers, and in actual fact the reason they're called as negotiators is because they have been trained to actively listen. And the word is actively listen. It's not about hearing. Hearing's one thing. Hearing can be quite passive. Active listening is about demonstrating that you're listening. So it's very active. And our negotiators are trained in that for 2 weeks. And we have them up at 8 a.m. till 1 a.m. So they're physically tired, because see, when we're emotional, the first thing to go is our listening. And so we've got to be able to test that even in the crisis that they might be facing in tiredness, that they can still listen. Because it's listening that will change behaviour. It's active listening that will enable them to get to the point where they can change someone's behaviour. And if they can't demonstrate those skills, we don't pass them. Because ultimately for us, we say they've got life in the palm of their hands. And therefore, if there is any doubt, there is no doubt. And you see, you know, for us as Christians, active listening is vitally important to our relationship with God. It's about, as it says there, whole body listening. Because the purpose of active listening is threefold. The first and most important thing is to demonstrate that you understand. If we just go on to the next slide. The purpose of active listening is to demonstrate understanding. You see, we say in negotiating, seek first to understand, then to be understood. And it says in the Bible in Proverbs 18:2, it is a fool who takes no pleasure in understanding, but only expressing opinion. And in chapter 18, verse 13, it says, and thus answers before he hears. You see, we need to understand who we're speaking with. We need to understand who they are. What are their values? What are their beliefs? What is their motivation? Because until I understand from their perspective, I've got no chance of connecting with them and influencing behaviour. And you see, most people sitting here, when we listen to respond. That's our intention. You're listening and waiting for your opportunity to say something back. But an active listener listens with the sole purpose of understanding. Because only when you understand can you then move on to connect, and can then move on to making the right response. And you see, it says in John 8, verse 43, why do you not understand my speech? Because you're not able to listen to my word. It doesn't say hear, it's listen. And listening is active. And you see, we need to understand God's values. We need to understand his character.
We need to demonstrate that we understand his motivation. You know, we're in a place as individuals and as a church where we're desperate to hear from God. We're desperate to hear what he has to say for our lives, individually, collectively as a church, and all that's going on in the world. We're desperate to hear from God. But you see, it's not that God isn't speaking. We need to first demonstrate that we're listening. And when I deal with someone in crisis, if I don't demonstrate that I'm listening, they're not going to tell me what really matters to them. They might even still have a conversation with me, but they're not going to tell me what really matters because I haven't demonstrated to them that I'm listening. And you see, what do we know of God's character? Well, we know that he's a holy God. And so although we say, you know, God always hears and God always answers our prayer, maybe not always the answer we're looking for, but actually it also tells us in Psalm 66, verse 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. You see, the Bible's not multiple choice. We can't choose the verses that we like and that are reassuring. The Bible is complete. And you see, if we approach God with iniquity in our heart and we want him to speak to us, it's telling us here he can't, because we haven't demonstrated that we understand his character. We haven't demonstrated that we understand who he is. Because actually, we're saying words knowing that there are things in our heart that are going to put up the barriers. And in many ways, what he would have to say thereafter would fall on deaf ears. Have you ever tried connecting with someone who's not listening to you? And we do this exercise with the negotiators right at the start. And we'll say to them, right, split into pairs, and I want you to tell them about yourself, just for a few minutes. And we'll say to the other person, and I want you not to listen. Not to say anything, but just to make it obvious that you're not listening. And even though they know it's an exercise, within only a few minutes, deathly silence comes across the room, despite it being a room full of supposed good talkers. Because it's really difficult to continue speaking to someone when you know they're not listening. And you see, the purpose of being able to demonstrate that you understand is that you then can connect. And it was a great example this morning when Howard stood up to get you all motivated for praise and worship. And he, with full of energy, said, you know, are we ready to worship? Yeah. And you see, you demonstrate that you understand the person when you match their energy. You know, if my kids come in and say to me, Mum, you want to see this new game out on Amazon? It is the best game. You get to make things and you get to do things. Sounds really exciting, son. Could you pick up your boxers? Or they come in. Really, really bad day at school today, Mum. You know, just really struggling with my maths just now. And, I get into trouble from the teacher. And I'm just finding it really difficult. Really sorry to hear that, son, but listen, do you know what's on television tonight? It is Strictly Come Dancing. Is he going to talk? Are they going to talk? You see, you fail to demonstrate just by your energy that you're not understanding where they're at. And until you're in sync with someone, you can't communicate with them. So when God reminds you that he'll never leave you nor forsake you, that he has chosen you, that if he is with you, who can be against you? Do you think he's saying that with a, listen, some good news for you, I'm never going to leave you? Or do you think he's full of passion and love and energy? And what's our response to that often? Well, it's really good to know that, but any chance you could really help me get this job? We're failing to demonstrate that we understand the true meaning of who he is. We're not matching his energy. And if we're not matching his energy, we're not in sync, and he won't communicate, because he needs to know that we are listening. It says there, oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. Because listening is about action, ultimately. It's very active. And so I want to look at it in the context of the life of Samuel, who we read about. And when we look at what happened in the chapters that we read, if you were to read the chapters before that, it tells you in those days, messages from the Lord were rare and visions were uncommon. And you might think, well, actually, that's like today. And the reality is, yeah, it's like today. It says that they had no respect for the Lord. You see, they were busy doing what they wanted to do. And you know, we can be busy doing what we want to do. And sometimes that's doing God's work. But you see, God called us for productivity, not activity. And so some of the barriers to active listening, if we go on to the next slide, which I'm going to go through, become really challenging for us as individuals. Because remember what it said, that God has called us to produce fruit that lasts. That is his calling for each and every one of us. So we might be busy, but what are we busy doing? And you see, if we are too busy to listen, he'll stop talking. The negotiators stopped talking when they saw the person was fidgeting and was distracted, had broken eye contact, was playing with a pen. And you see, if I demonstrate to someone when I'm speaking with them at crisis point that I'm not listening, if I'm too busy with what's going on round about me, and it can be a very, very busy scene, but if I'm so busy looking at everything else that's going on, they'll stop talking, or they'll at least stop talking about the things that matter. And that's a dangerous position to be in, because when I've stopped listening, I've taken away the foundation that will take us to the point where we can change behaviour and stop it being a crisis. And you see, for us as Christians as well, when we stop listening, truly listening, it's one thing to hear, but truly listening, that's a dangerous position to be in, because God cannot influence our behaviour through the crisis. And you see, often I've got to tell the public order and the firearms team, who have got to be the noisiest group of people on the planet, to keep the noise down. I've got to silence them, not just so I can hear, but so I demonstrate to the person, you're all that matters. All of this is noise and distraction, doesn't matter. You matter. I'm going to silence them so that I know that I can hear you, and that you know by the demonstration, even in that, that I'm ready to listen. And you know, when we come to God and we look at the story of Samuel, he came to him in the quietness of the night, not in the busyness of the day. Where do we find that quiet time where we've stopped all the distractions? And you see, it says in that verse, Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. It doesn't say be still and talk. It says be still and know. And what it's saying is be still and understand who I am. Because when you understand who I am, then we will connect. And then I will tell you what's on my mind. Then I will speak to you. But until you understand, until you're still enough to know who I am, I'm not going to give you my message, because you're not listening and you haven't demonstrated that you're listening. God spoke to Samuel in the quietness of the night. And you see, sometimes we're not focused on the right things. And I'll give you a wee example of that. This is a wee test for you, just to test out your active listening. I'll sign you up as a negotiator at the end of the sermon. Here it is. You all listening? You're on a bus. Sorry, you're driving a bus. You go east 12 miles and turn south and go 2 miles. You still with me? You take on 9 passengers and then turn west and go 3 miles. And you let off 4 passengers. How old is the bus driver? Some of you will be saying, oh, I've got that. And others will be saying, 3-odd, how do you work out the age of the bus driver from that? Remember what I said at the start? You are driving a bus. So the bus driver is as old as you are. I won't ask you to shout that out. I'll save you that. Some of you will be thinking, oh, I got that good, which is great. But other people will have been focused on all of those numbers. And you see, sometimes we focus on all the wrong things. We're so busy focusing on all the distraction and other voices, well-intended voices, well-intended people. But what we need to focus on is the clear message that is coming from God. And you see, as a negotiator, I'll often make my voice quieter. You might think, well, that's silly because you want to be heard. Yes, I do want to be heard. But sometimes I want to make it difficult because then I know they're going to have to work really hard to listen. So when I quieten my voice, I get their attention and I get their focus, because if I don't, they're not going to hear me. And you see, remember the story of Elijah in 1 Kings? When he had come out, he was on top of the mountain and he was waiting to speak with God. Remember the mighty windstorm came? God wasn't there. And then there was the earthquake and God wasn't there. And then there was a fire and God wasn't there. And then there was a gentle whisper. And he came out and he met with God. And you see, sometimes we're expecting the big angel's trumpet, you know, bolt of lightning. God often speaks to us with a gentle whisper, because that's when he knows he's got our attention. And you see, God will use many ways of speaking to us, through people, through nature, through our conscience, but more than not, it will be that soft, gentle voice. And we need to be able to be at a point where we're focused and ready to listen to his voice. And the other thing that it says here is sometimes we don't recognise God's voice. You know, as a negotiator, we work in teams always. And it's normally a team of at least 3, normally 4 people for every incident that we go to. But the person that's connecting with the person in crisis will keep them in that position for the whole time where possible. Because we want to build up that relationship of trust. We want them to recognise each other and to build that relationship. And sometimes we might use someone else. Sometimes we might use a friend or a member of the family to speak to them because they've already got that trust. But we'll only do that when we've spoken to them and we've briefed them and we've given them words. And you see, the power of that is that the person in crisis will still get the message. We'll use maybe somebody else to do it. One of the things that we do when someone's maybe been taken abroad, you'll maybe have heard it said before, we look for things about proof of life. And so sometimes we'll have questions that only the person will know the answer to, because they know that person so well. Nobody else would know that. And therefore they know that that message has come from them. And you see, I give an example. You know, when you're in a relationship with people, you know you can finish their words for them. You know their words so well, because you see them every day, you've heard them every day, you're in a relationship with them. I used to say to my kids, do you know what? And they would say, what? And I'd be, oh, I love you. And now I've said that to them nearly every day of their life, to the point now where I just say, do you know what? Yeah, we do know. And they walk away. Especially when I'm shouting it at the school gate, given that they're 17 and 15. The point is, they recognise my words. If either of my children were to write a letter and not put a name on it, I would recognise their handwriting, I would recognise their words, I would recognise their phrases. Why? Because I speak to them every day in life and I know their words. So even if somebody else came up and said, Gregor told me to tell you this, I would know whether Gregor had told them, because I would recognise his the words and the tone, because I know him so well. And you see, sometimes we get confused from other voices and other advice, and the only thing that we should be able to discern from all of that is the voice of God, because we know it so well. And sometimes we don't recognise God's voice because there are so many other distractions. And as negotiators, we use boards to write down lots of things, because it's so important that we demonstrate that we're listening. And what they're telling us is really important, but the things that we write down are different from what everybody else will be writing, because what we're writing down is a reminder of who they are. How do they see themselves? What are their values? What motivates them? You know, and that's a bit for us in our relationship with God. Do we take time to remind ourselves who he is? What motivates him? What's driving him? It's his love for us that's driving him. We need to connect on all of his values and connect on his agenda. And you see, the fourth reason that we sometimes don't actively listen is because we just don't want to. You see, when God called Samuel, he didn't call him and start delivering his message to him. He called him and he waited. And he waited until he got the response, which was, "Speak, your servant is listening." And you see, sometimes, again, someone in crisis will say to me, "Well, what is it you want me to do?" And I know that they know what I want them to do. I want them to come out, or I want them to release the hostage, I want them to put the gun down. They know the answer. But I don't tell them it at that point, because it would fall on deaf ears, because they're not ready to deal with the consequences yet. The consequences are too great. They're not ready to come out. They're not ready to put the gun down. So although they're asking the question, they don't really want the answer. And sometimes we approach God like that. And we say, "Well, God, what is it you want me to do?" He says, "Well, you're not ready for the answer yet. Because there'll be consequences." And so although we're asking the question, we're not really ready to listen to the answer, because the consequences are too great. It'll involve sacrifice. It'll involve maybe giving something up. And you see, God's going to call you, and then he's going to wait until we're ready to say, "Speak. Your servant is listening." And he'll know that, because you'll already have demonstrated that you understand who he is, and that you're connected with him, and that you are ready to respond. You see, negotiating is often wrongly described as a wait-and-see option, because to the outside world, it looks like that's all we do. We arrive, and we stand, and we wait until they either calm down, or until maybe the public order or firearms have got some other plan pulled together. And it might look like that, but actually in our waiting, we are very, very active, actively listening, because that is the only thing that is going to influence behavioural change. And you see, when God's saying, "Be still and know that I am God," he's saying, "Be still, but actively listen to understand who I am, to understand what motivates me, to understand my character, so that we can connect, that you can match my passion and my energy. And then you will be ready to say, 'Speak, your servant is listening.'" And that's when he will deliver his message. That's the point where he will be able to tell you, as he did with Samuel. You see, Samuel didn't recognize God's voice because he hadn't heard it. We have heard God's voice. His word is full of it. And we should recognize it. But sometimes we don't want to hear it because the consequences are too great. And so my challenge to me, and my challenge to all of us, takes us back to where we were last week. We can say the words that we're listening to God, but are we really listening? Because listening isn't waiting for the angels or the trumpets or the bolt of lightning. It's about demonstrating to God that we understand who he is, we understand his motivation, we understand how much he loves us, and that we understand what we have been called for. And remember what it says, if we go on to the final slide. "I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name." So sometimes when it seems like God's not speaking, I would tell you without question, it's not because he's not speaking. It's because we haven't demonstrated that we're listening, and that we're ready to respond with, "Speak, Your servant is listening. So my challenge is to me and to all of you, are we actively listening to respond to God's purpose for each one of us, which is to produce fruit and fruit that will last? Or are we too busy doing other things which might be good and proper and wondering why God's not speaking? And I would just pray that when you think about crisis communication, you recognise that it is two ears and one mouth for a reason. And the proportion of our prayer time. And it was interesting about Hannah talking about what was causing the breakthrough, and it's about that prayer time and that relationship. That in that prayer time, are we actively listening? Are we demonstrating to God that we understand, that we can connect, and that we're ready to respond to his calling? Because God's calling. He's calling each one of us as he did Samuel. But he's not going to give us his message until we demonstrate that we're listening. He's waiting for us to say, speak. Your servant is listening. Let's just pray. Dear Lord, we just thank you that you're a God who hears all of our prayers without question. You are a God who we will never get the engaged tone from. You are a God who has chosen each and every one of us for a purpose. And that purpose is to produce fruit. And I just pray that we will demonstrate to you that we not only hear you, but we are listening. That we are ready to take your message. We're ready to take your command. And we're ready to go out and to do what you've asked us to do. Not to be active, but to produce. And I just thank you that you are patient and that you're willing to wait until we're ready to listen. I just pray that we'll be a people who actively listen in the stillness, and that we know that you truly are God and that you are with us. Amen.